The Mitchell's Front Page Podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11.
94.7 The Pulse.
In the studio, Vic, buongiorno. Good morning.
Good morning, Mitchell. How are you?
Good, nice to see you. And Liz likewise. Is with us as well. How are you, Liz?
Oh, she's not there.
Go again, Liz.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Lovely to
How
see
you.
You.
Lovely
Liz
to
is
see
on the other
too.
Side of the glass because we still have a cap on the number of people that can be in the studio.
Yes, I'm in the bubble.
Now, Vic, you or your family members have had difficulty buying alcohol at Aldi.
Look, a bit of a surprise yesterday, Mitchell. I had a call from my son, Dominic, and his mother. They were on their way home from school. His mother had picked him up. And as we do, we often have a bit of a banter. And they told me of an experience that they just had at the Aldi store there at Belmont, whereby they picked up a few groceries and things and had them on the belt and were about to check out. And my son's mother went away to pick up a six-pack of Corona, which is right next to the checkout area.
Yes.
And put it on the belt. And the checkout person said, sorry, I can't sell you those. I need to see his ID. And, of course, his mother said, well, he's 17. I can tell you that. I don't need to give you the ID. He's 17. What's that got to do with anything? Well, then I can't let you have the alcohol.
Mm.
And she said, well, it's not for him. I'm the responsible person. I'm buying it for my own use.
Yes.
And they insisted, and they withdrew the alcohol. Now, this is a pretty big topic. I had quite a conversation with them. My son didn't put his hand on the alcohol, claim on it. It was there on the belt. I just don't know what right Aldi has to impose their moral values on the public and be discretionary about who they're serving.
I've got a few things to say about it. Number yep. one is I went to Aldi and wanted to buy some liqueur
yep.
and was checking out, but I wasn't actually paying for the groceries. The person that was paying for the groceries, they asked them for ID. They didn't have ID on them, which I think is a mistake. I think you should always be able to prove who you are. But then I said, well, that's all right, I've got my ID here. And they said, well, no, we can't sell it to you because he didn't have ID originally and you may be a secondary purchaser for that person. So they wouldn't. They had to discard the alcohol as well. And also I've spoken to someone that worked there, used to work there, someone I know, a bit of a friend of mine, and they said they were very strict, the management, about it. They would even send through mystery shoppers that would try and buy alcohol, and they would make sure that everyone had their ID checked and that there was not secondary purchasing happening. So for some reason, Aldi's very strict about selling the alcohol. And I do remember when I used to work in retail, which I've talked about a few times, they were very big on secondary purchasing because potentially the person that sells the alcohol to the person making the secondary purchase for someone else, it's quite a stiff penalty, I think, if you're caught out.
Well, look, Liz, I'm sure you've got a bit to say about this, but I just don't know what right they've got to be discretionary and say you as a consumer are not fit to buy alcohol. I find that offensive. I find that completely offensive. I've written to Aldi and sought an apology.
I'd love to see the response if
well,
you ever get one.
Well, if we get one. But I also, you know, as a law-abiding citizen, I can't see any reason for this law to exist. Now, I understand their concern about underage people drinking and the abuse of alcohol, and I'm totally on side with that. But what would cover that base is a notice at the checkout or on the wall. It is illegal to supply liquor to underage.
Now, I want to hear what Liz has to say about this, because Liz has worked extensively in the hospitality sector.
Yeah, well, I guess Aldi's protecting itself because we know that parents buy alcohol for their kids, and they're protecting themselves against that, I guess, parents going in and buying alcohol for their children.
I think if someone was buying alcohol for the kids, though,
but it doesn't doesn't make much difference because the mother can say, well, this is Aldi, sit in the car and I'll bring it out.
Well, that's right. That's my point. I think if a parent was buying alcohol for the child, they would be doing it in a discreet fashion. They wouldn't have the child right there and make it so obvious.
Well, so you'd be surprised. Some probably do, but, take the kid in to choose what they want. But it doesn't matter anyway. I mean, there's so many ways around it. It's ridiculous that they wouldn't serve Rebecca with Dom next to her. That's
well,
just
I
plain nonsense.
I then rang Liquor Licensing Commission and spoke to a senior employee in there from the Victoria Police, which I won't mention his name, but he was very good about it, and we had quite a candid talk about it. And he said, look, mate, he said there, and he did mention some other stores, which I won't mention here, because I don't have first-hand knowledge like I do of Aldi, but he did mention some other leading names that have the same policy. And he said, best thing to do is leave the kids in the car. Now, that was given, you know, with an open heart and with an open mind and trying to solve the problem. But what sort of, what are Aldi promoting here? That a parent who, especially a single parent, decides to, I'll have a bottle of wine this weekend or something, I'll leave my kids at home unattended.
And you're not supposed to leave kids in the car anyway, because
exactly.
That's another issue, isn't it?
Exactly. So these are the problems that they're inadvertently creating.
Did you put these in your email, these problems?
I don't need to. I'm putting it on air now.
No, I'm just thinking Aldi might need to be reminded.
Well,
are you going to send them the tape of today?
There's probably a few pages to turn on the whole lot, you know, as we unpack this. But you know, he said that is their policy, and they stick to that. Now, I put it to you that if I went up to the checking out some groceries and I had alcohol and I had no child with me, and I told that person at the checkout that I have teenage children at home, they would be morally obliged to remove that alcohol from my care. There is no difference here. There is no difference here. They would be morally obliged to remove that alcohol, or not morally, under the rules of their company policy, they would be obliged to remove that alcohol from my care because they don't trust that a responsible adult can monitor the situation and be in charge
Although,
of alcohol.
Although, I mean, I'm not au fait really with the liquor laws, but aren't you allowed as a minor to drink alcohol but in the privacy of your own residence?
Correct, you are.
Or in the company of an adult.
While you're having a meal.
Supervised, you are, and I put that to the person I spoke to in the police force yesterday.
I mean,
they said that is quite permissible. So where Aldi are coming from, I am totally at a loss to find out where they're coming from with this. They actually aren't stating the law. They're creating their own law. Now,
well, is it, you know, kids pulled over by the police? Where did you get that alcohol? My mother bought it for me.
But that's another fact.
Where did she buy it? At Aldi?
You're creating a situation there, Liz. I don't know whether that's ever occurred.
Who would buy alcohol for someone when they're standing right there? I mean, Liz, I think you said maybe people might do that, but I would have thought if you were knowingly trying to flout the rules, you'd do it more clandestinely. You wouldn't do it with the person you were supplying the alcohol to right there.
It
doesn't make sense, does it? I mean, none of it makes sense.
How do you enforce this?
How do you realistically
enforce this? Do we need these companies to be our moral guardian? And, you know, it's this sort of... Do we call this PC? Is this a PC law?
I don't know. Well, what does the law actually say about secondary purchasing?
The state law would be very interesting here, or the federal law would be very interesting here, whichever is the overriding law here. And I would love some input. If anyone's got any input on this, I'd love them to call in. But it's quite legal.
5222 5947
yes.
is the number.
Love to hear from you.
Say that again, Liz.
5222 5947 if you want to call in.
Good. So it's quite legal for a young person to drink alcohol in company, at home, which is the proper thing to do too, because you've got to demystify alcohol. You can't just say, well, you're 18 now, let's go to the hotel. It doesn't work that way. The human nature is different. And as a responsible parent, then, you know, it would be just the normal thing. Well, I'm grown up in an Italian family. It was never an issue for me.
You were probably given a glass of red for lunch.
As a little child, at my grandparents', we'd be given a glass with a of water with a drip of red wine in it. It happened all the time. Now I know that there are thoughts against that, and they've got proof that that's probably not the thing to do, but it was very common practice in those days, and I had no reason to say that was it did me any harm at all. Liz, that's enough of that. I can give as good as I take on that one.
If you get a response from Aldi, bring it with you next week. But I've got a feeling that it may be a long time coming for that. But it's an interesting question, but I do know that of all of the retailers, Aldi is probably the strictest. Because I've been to Aldi to buy alcohol very occasionally, and you do get your license checked, whereas at other places they don't even check your license.
I'm a bit offended. I've never been asked for ID.
What about a pregnant woman? And she's buying a bottle of champagne going through. Does that person at the checkout then say...
You shouldn't be drinking that.
You shouldn't be drinking that. Well, it's not for me. I'm giving it as a gift. I'm sorry. I'm taking it.
Or if you have a toddler. What if you have a toddler with you?
This is a reprehensible policy from Aldi, and they need to review it or take alcohol off their shelves completely.
What if you have a baby or a toddler with you and they, you know...
They need to
You can't
think
buy
about,
it. You might be putting it in that child's bottle.
If they want to take this stand, then remove alcohol from your retail.
It is a murky word.
I hope they don't. There's a couple of things on the line that I quite like.
They're the only place that actually sells alcohol with the groceries, though. Normally for other places,
you've got to go
to a separate shop to buy alcohol, whereas they've got the alcohol kind of separated but kind of not mixed in with the groceries.
Well, they want to bob both ways. They want the money from the alcohol, and yet they're playing the guardian, moral guardian here. Now, it's this sort of bylaw, or it's this sort of, you know, enactment of the policy. I mean, where are they heading with us? Is the next step going to be prohibition? I mean, that's certainly the colour of this policy from Aldi. It's reprehensible. Now, this sort of policy is exactly the sort of policy that would drive me to the right wing. And to someone like Donald Trump, I would rather exist with his bullying and his lies than to live under this sort of policy. If the state government do support this, I don't know if they do or don't. I'd love to hear from them. If they support this, then I would say bring back Donald Trump. I would vote. I would vote, and I clearly make it quite clear. I would vote for Donald Trump than put up with this sort of.
So that you can buy alcohol with your kids.
No,
standing beside
no,
you.
Mitchell. No, let's not belittle the whole point. The fact is, we're living under a nanny state, and that's the sort of thing that PC, that overwhelming PC policy is enough to drive people. And initially, I'm sure it had a big bearing on why he got.
Well, this segues nicely into another point that you wanted to look at, which is, of course, US politics. But you've posed the question, Trumpism, is it dead?
Well, I don't think it is. And look, the point is we're pulling a lot from Trump that we like but not admitting to. There is a lot more upfront diplomacy across on Twitter. You know, the use of the term fake news is now worldwide. It came from him, and he bears that title. There's no doubt about that. He actually generated that, and I think it's a terrific title. I really think it cuts straight to the. And that's the thing about Donald Trump. He was offensive by being so forthright. He had no filter. Now that did him a lot of damage at the polls, and we saw that, and we saw it in his debate. But that aside, there are some good things about the way he managed the situation. And this sort of policy drives me exactly to the right wing. I would vote for him in an instant to get rid of this thinking and this policy, the colour of this whole policy through our lives. The PC.
On the question, Trumpism, is it dead? I've got a feeling a lot of people have moved on from the US election. Even people that were likely to support Trump have moved on and have now mostly conceded that Joe Biden will be the next president of the US. And it seems to me like it's Donald Trump and a very small group of people that are still trying to challenge the result.
I would agree with that.
There was a thing on the news, was it last night or a couple of nights ago? I think Trump was holding some sort of victory rally.
I would agree with that. I would agree that people have moved on. But, you know, I've said before on this program that US politics and politics at large is largely reactive. And we have Joe Biden and John Kerry now at the helm. Both of these men, their policies go right before them. They've been there for 30 years. They've done nothing spectacular.
How old's John Kerry?
China has Biden's measure. There is no doubt about that. They're rubbing their hands with glee. at least Trump took a very hard line, and he was particularly unpredictable, and China couldn't work that out, and they didn't like that. So that's something we've got to watch in the next 4 years. But I do believe that there'll be possibly a chance for someone like Trump to re-emerge in the next poll.
John Kerry is 76 years old, so the same age as Trump. So a lot of people in their 70s that are in the mix in the US political system, it seems.
Look, in my opinion, quite a spectacular unachiever.
Well, we'll see what they do when they get elected or inaugurated in January.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you've had some trouble with phone reception in Geelong with Telstra.
Shocking.
I have too.
Yeah.
Are you Telstra?
I'm Telstra, and I had trouble in Anarchy and in Geelong.
You know, I had a complaints, rang the complaints, and they of course, did you get that? Have you tried that? They say, text us. Have you had that?
No, I didn't bother.
Well, I heard that they've had, because a lot of their call centres are based in Manila, and Manila got shut down because of COVID-19. So I'm told that they've had real trouble with actually just getting people to answer their complaints or any telephone line. And as a result of that, the telecommunication ombudsman, the number of complaints to them has gone through, well, not through the roof, but it's gone up,
well,
I've been told.
It would have gone through the roof. I was advised by somebody within Telstra, who shall remain nameless, to go to the ombudsman.
Did you?
Yes, and I haven't yet, no.
Because I know someone that works for the ombudsman.
I don't think it'll get you anywhere.
I don't think it'll get you anywhere. Look, and Telstra, by and large, they've dropped the ball here. They were very good, but what they should do is preface their phone answering machine and say, due to COVID, that's shut and we have a problem. Text us, but I'd just like to say I did.
So
text,
you called and then they said send us a text.
No, you call and you get a recorded message. We're going to text you. Answer by text. But I sent the text and it kept bouncing. Didn't go through.
So they sent you a text saying what? Your problem.
A link. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Put your complaint down.
So you said my phone reception's not good enough.
Yep. And didn't go through. Kept bouncing. So it's the height of frustration at the moment. But I did hear from that same person that it's got something to do with the instigation of 5G. And they're upgrading all the towers.
It's just funny because
they're having a problem with the reception.
We were talking about 5G, 2 weeks ago, and I think you guys were saying, do we need 5G? 4G is good enough.
Well, it's certainly proving to be controversial.
So what happens, how does your phone reception get affected? Does it drop out completely or what?
I'm in the middle of Newtown and I get one bar on 4G. And I get probably a full board on 3G, but it drops out too.
Yep.
So,
like, I've only got 3 in here at the moment.
You've turned that on, or that's what's come
up?
I've got full strength, but I'm with the other telco.
Okay. Well, maybe we should think about that, Mitchell. Maybe you could tell us later.
Yes,
well, it's not a sin. Who are you with?
Optus. I mean, it's a duopoly. Really,
oh, okay. Yeah,
if you want reasonable coverage, I think there's only 2 telcos.
Yeah, right.
You can go with.
Generally, people associate Telstra with being, you know...
Telstra's 5G network, I think, is already more comprehensive than the Optus one here in Geelong, but Optus say they're growing. But I've never had a problem. Like, a lot of people complain about their telcos day in, day out. I can say I've never had a problem with Optus.
I've called... We're with business Telstra, and, I can get some sort of action out of them if I bleat on long enough. I mean, you saying that you were talking to Manila just brought up a conversation I had yesterday with Airbnb, because I pride myself on how clean I keep my apartment in Apollo Bay.
Yep.
And I had somebody trying to get their money back. I'm pretty sure they'd had a fight and they checked out and I wouldn't give them a refund.
Oh.
Because I've given refunds for the whole year with COVID.
How early in the stay was it?
It was the next day.
So they were meant to stay for, 2 days?
And she rang me and she said, could I have a high chair today, please? And I said, yeah, I'll get one sent down to you. Said nothing about anything being wrong. And then in the afternoon sent me a message saying, we've checked out, I'd like a refund.
Well, there's a cancellation policy, isn't there?
Anyway, yeah. So it was a day early. So I said to Airbnb, rang me, and I said, no, I don't want to give her a refund. There's no reason, And they said, oh, she said the place is really dirty. And I said, well, that's not true.
Did she send photos?
So I sent the cleaners down. She wouldn't. Okay, so she couldn't. So anyway, then yesterday a review popped up on my Airbnb blah, 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 it's terrible.
Very damaging.
Don't go there, especially during COVID and rah, rah. So I rang Airbnb and said, you know, you can't do this. I'm a super host. I pride myself on how good it is.
Yeah, that's not proven. Yeah, sure.
You know, and I spoke to her for half an hour, this lady from, let's say, Manila, who didn't have a clue, just kept repeating the policy of Airbnb.
Which was what? All reviews are final and they can't take it down.
Well, it's their opinion. And, you know, I said, well, you know, I was getting really frustrated. Then I heard a rooster.
Right.
And I said, because she's saying, I understand, you know, and I said, you don't understand, you're not even in the same country as me. And then I heard the rooster, and I said, is that a rooster?
Yeah.
And she said, I beg your pardon? I said, is that a rooster in the background?
Well,
she's
that's a giveaway.
Obviously in the backyard of, in Manila.
Working from home.
Working from home.
Well, we can't say that for sure, but you'd think that.
Yeah, exactly. As soon
well, I don't
as
think
I
they'd
hear
have
a rooster,
roosters at a major call centre, would they?
But when you
well,
said that, it's just like it's so frustrating sometimes talking to these people. I think you can't say put your manager on or put the owner on of Airbnb because he won't be there.
So maybe we shouldn't be. Maybe I shouldn't because I'm going to be moving into this realm soon. Maybe I shouldn't be considering Airbnb in my if they're going to allow those sorts of reviews.
Well, I mean that it is frustrating.
I think that's
as
business
owner.
In 2020, isn't it? People leave reviews
and they say, "Look, you just put a reply to it and." You know, state your case or whatever, which I did. But
I tell
it's
what,
still
I find
frustrating to have a bad one up there when you know that's not what you delivered.
I find some comedic value in going on to read reviews that people leave and finding the worst reviews because you can do that and then watching the response from the owners of the business, and quite often the owners of the business try to get into a fight with their reviewer, and it's a bit of comic relief.
I just put, I wished her well in her adventures
well, that's nice.
In the future.
And please don't come and stay with us again.
I'm sorry that
can you
had
refuse
a bad experience.
Service? Are we, Aldi are doing it?
Aldi are doing it, yeah.
Can you refuse service?
Well, I did. I would have, but I didn't know she was going to be like that.
No, but do you then say to someone who's put a review up like that, or everybody be aware, this person, I believe, is bearing false witness, that is not correct.
Mm.
So they should possibly then have to carry the responsibility for an incorrect report, for lie.
Yeah, well, what I'd say is if you're booking something on Airbnb and you do come across a negative report, it's not always the way it is. I mean,
sure.
Some people are just haters from the start. And,
yeah, that's right.
And they might be trying to get their money back or...
If I'm staying at a hotel and I read the reviews, I don't look at any one review.
Yes.
I try and see if there's a common thread, like if three people say that the bathtub's got grime in it or something.
Exactly. So I've got 50 good reviews or outstanding
I think you'll
reviews
be fine.
And one bad one now. And so hopefully people will look.
Do you lose your super host status?
Well, my status goes down because of it, which is unfair.
Are you busy at the moment down there?
Flat out.
Yeah. Well, that's good for people in Apollo Bay.
Yeah. So anyway, that's my beef for the day.
Now, Vic, you're a bit upset about a playground in your street that you think there's nothing wrong with it, but their council are updating it. Is that right?
They are, Mitchell. They are. That's in Buckingham Road in Newtown. And they got a sign up. I did receive a call this morning from somebody.
Yeah,
and he said,
in council.
He said, I'll get someone to call you back. He said, I understand your grievance here. We've had these sorts of complaints before.
So you had contacted them?
Yeah, I rang the number.
How many complaints have you made to people this week? You've complained to Telstra, Aldi, and you must be spending your time just on
hold. Telstra have been an ongoing monthly thing. Well,
right.
But Telstra are not because... Well, hang on, Mitchell. Was I not justified in complaining?
I'm not saying,
any
but
of these? I don't think it's a fair...
I'm just interested.
Honestly. But this particular playground is in good shape. And when you look at the picture, you think, so what's changed here? So there's probably $100,000 worth of work going in here, and
do they show you the concept of what it will look like?
There is a photo concept, and I think, you know what, kids just go there for half an hour, they play with their parents probably googling on the phone while they're on the monkey bars, and they go. This is a perfectly, it's got a slide, it's got all the things that I think that the other one had.
Is it plastic or is it metal?
Well,
see,
Liz,
when I was growing up,
both, I would say, this day and age.
When I was growing up, most of the playgrounds were metal, and then it kind of went through this phase where everything became plastic.
But let's be realistic here. And as a concerned citizen, this state is heading into multi-billion dollar debt. Do we need to be so careless with our expenditure that things like this is a major expenditure? There's going to be money that's been...
Did they say why? Why is it being updated?
He was very understanding. He said, I'll get someone to call you back. He said, we get these calls. But there's no... I mean, kids don't see that things have been upgraded. I know I didn't as a kid.
It's not like
you're putting a new kitchen in a house where the whole benefit is to the family.
What I didn't like as a kid when they updated the playgrounds because they moved from metal to plastic. It was kind of a thing in the 90s to plastic. It was kind of a thing in the 90s and 2000s while I was in that. You used to get static electricity shocks.
That's right.
You go down the slide and you get a shock halfway down.
I can't remember even being taken to a playground when I was a kid. I think we missed out.
Do you think it's disadvantaged you, that shock?
Well, it made playing on the equipment very unpleasant.
All right,
I preferred metal.
There's no sort of hangover into your adult life about
that? It's a bit traumatizing.
Is it traumatizing?
You get shocked every time you go down a slide.
I think we need to talk about this after.
So that would be my concern.
But, you know, I think I think it was a fair comment, and I just think that it needs to be, there needs to be more judgment put into these things. We're heading into, we don't know how we're going to pay the money.
I agree with you, Vic.
We don't know how we're going to pay the money back. We have no clue. And that's an interesting point in itself. I saw Dan Andrews being grilled by Richard Reardon the other day there at the inquiry, and he refused to answer the question about how he was going to pay the money back. Richard Reardon said to him, are we going to be putting up taxes? And he refused to comment. Of course we'll be putting up taxes if the economy can stand it. But the Premier's, the one address that the Premier did probably make that was relevant, he said, no, we'll be in 2024, we'll have growth, you know. And I think Richard Reardon missed the mark there in saying, well, what growth are you projecting? Where's the growth coming from? Is it going to be from your Belt and Road initiatives? Because that is primary in his whole plan to employ people. Our Premier is biased in that respect and needs to be treated with great, respect. He's a bit of a dark horse that way, and he's got a lot of Chinese interests at heart, I feel. So Belt and Road shouldn't be in our lives as much as what he's planning it to be.
Well, we're just about there for the day. Next week we're doing a very special outside broadcast from down at the Shelter Shed in Queenscliff.
That'll be good.
You're coming down for that?
Yes.
Liz, are you joining us?
Oh, perhaps.
Perhaps.
I think you will.
Yeah, come on. It'll be great.
We can ride share, Liz, if you like.
It's a very nice drive. It's a little bit of a drive, but it's a very nice drive down to Queenscliff. We've got a really good program lined up. We've got two mayors coming down. We've got the mayor of the borough of Queenscliff and the mayor of Greater Geelong. We may ask her a playground question. And then we'll have you guys on. And we've got some live music as well. So it's going to be a really good morning down there at Queenscliff. But there is time for the final word.
Well, look, I tell you what, this is a bit of a long final word, but I did see some research about hamsters. And they said that they had hamsters in a cage. And this is to do with masks, Liz. It's all right up your alley. And they said, now, number one, two, and three, with no mask, two-thirds of the healthy animals were infected within a week. Two, with a mask interposed between the hamsters. The healthy hamsters, the equivalent healthy person wearing a mask, one-third were infected within a week, so that's come right down. And with a mask close to the infected hamsters, only a sixth were infected.
Can you just explain that to me?
So is that two-thirds down to a sixth? Is that
correct? That's correct. So just the different levels of mask wearing brought it from two-thirds...
Two-thirds is, I think, 66%, and I think a sixth is about 15%. So 66% down to 15. Although they'd have to make hamster-sized masks. Well, I don't know how that works.
What's it telling us?
Wouldn't that be cute?
Masks work? I don't know.
Get out of hamsters?
Do hamsters leave their masks on the floor of their cars and put them in their pockets?
How did they put them over their ears?
Get out of hamsters. Well, look, you know, that's pretty clear.
I'd like to see a photo of that.
Yeah, I would too, actually.
This was on the wall at the medical centre I go to, Dr. Bruce Munro. He does my eyes. For my work. He's a gentleman by any account. He's a lovely guy. And it was on the wall in his reception, so it's there for everyone to see.
Must be
accurate. True, then.
Liz, final word.
Long live the hamster.
Yeah. Well, they're good eating, I believe.
Thank you very much, and we'll see both of you down in Queenscliff on Tuesday.
And no wear excuses. A mask.
And wear a mask, because it's our last show before February.
Bye-bye.
So looking forward to that. Time for the 11 o'clock news with Lee Harrison, and then at midday, coming up, we've got Robert and Sylvia with their program, so don't miss that.
The Mitchell's Front Page Podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11. Or search for Mitchell's Front Page on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or wherever you get your podcasts.